Well, last week here on campus, we had a little bit of an incident. The original report turned out to be not completely accurate. Lieutenant Tim Lagarde with the UMD Police is in our studios this morning. And even though the information that the first person who reported turned out to be not 100% accurate, they operated on the basis of the information that they had. And they made the call to 911, and UMD police were apparently in action and on the scene in just moments. Good morning.
Good morning.
That was a little bit interesting for our break.
It was. It was quite a start to the new year.
Ugh. So you got a report from somebody who had seen on social media that a friend of theirs was in a bad place. And said they were feeling suicidal. Is that right? What did the original report say?
That's correct. The person who called 911 reported that the friend or acquaintance of his was feeling suicidal and was wandering or walking around the UMD campus armed with a shotgun. That was the original report that we had.
So that's got to be kind of terrifying for UMD police. Obviously, you're trained police officers, but UMD police are not dealing with armed trespassers or suspects on a regular basis.
Not on a regular basis. However, we do train for that sort of thing on a pretty regular basis. So not sure if terrified is the right word. If you're not scared, you're not human. That's for sure.
Well,
so there's that element.
And you're not paying attention. Your head is not in the right mind space.
Exactly. And our officers are trained to be in that right mindset when they're here on their shift. So when something like this does come up, the transition into handling that situation is usually pretty seamless.
So what happened?
Well, this call came in through 911, as I described a minute ago, and our officers were there within minutes. And we have a system set up where we can send out word not only through other law enforcement agencies in the area, but through our command staff, through an alert system through the 911 operations. And that's what happened, and it worked pretty well. Of course, our police department shares the same radio channels as the Duluth Police Department. And so once that information came out, we had all kinds of police officers and law enforcement officers coming from around this area to help us out with that situation. It was a good situation, or a good example, I should say, of the partnership we have with our fellow law enforcement agencies in the area. We had numerous officers on scene within minutes searching for this person.
And you did find the person. He turned out not to be armed.
Took a little while to find him. I shouldn't say it took a little while. I think we found him within about half an hour. Our alert went out through UMD, through the safe alert system. The safe U system. And got the text message out to all of our campus partners to let them know that there was something going on here. So that worked very well. I think we got that out in about 10 minutes or so, something like that. Once we had law enforcement in the area looking for him, it didn't take very long. I think within about half an hour of the original call, this person was located over by the planetarium, outside the planetarium. He was taken into custody without any incident. Nobody got hurt. He didn't get hurt. None of the officers got hurt. So that's a successful conclusion for us. He was not armed at the time, and we did not find a firearm in the area.
Now, if this was television, of course, this person would have been surrounded by officers, all with guns drawn, all yelling, you know, drop your weapon or
right.
whatever.
Right.
This is not television.
Right.
What actually happened?
I should point out I was not there when this occurred. I'm going by the description of what was relayed to me after the fact. It wasn't far off from that, though, in this situation. Once the officer who located the person found him, he was able to get the information out over the radio as to his location. And then they went through the process that they're trained to do as far as getting this person to comply with the demands to make themselves prone, to make sure they're not making any kind of furtive movements that might be misinterpreted. And it worked very well. Nobody got hurt.
So here's this person who, for whatever, you know, maybe was going through a really bad patch, put this out on social media, maybe is wandering around campus. We don't know what the person's mindset was, obviously, but it must have been a little terrifying for them to suddenly be surrounded by armed officers saying, you know, drop your weapon or whatever, because the information you had is that the person was armed.
I'm sure it was, yes. Right. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Now, I had asked you yesterday when we chatted a little bit how old this person was, and you said maybe early 20s. You weren't
right.
really sure. But as far as you folks know, there was no alcohol involved.
To my knowledge, no.
So this is possibly a mental health crisis?
It seems that way.
Issue?
Yep.
So you and I talked about this a little bit more, and I always wonder, when we live in a society where we don't lock people up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all seen the terrifying movies about people being locked up and held against their will or because somebody's got a nefarious
right.
plot. We don't have a state hospital system anymore. We don't lock people up anymore, which means that there are sometimes people wandering in our midst that make us uncomfortable.
Sure.
Because they're either suffering from a mental illness or maybe they have a substance abuse problem and it's pretty obvious and we're uncomfortable. Now, this person was taken to jail, is that right? And then I think, what did you tell me? Were the charges that were filed?
Yeah, my understanding is he was taken to a hospital first to checked out to be evaluated for his threats to harm himself. And then he was taken to jail for, I believe it was a trespassing charge eventually. There was he never made a threat to any other person other than himself. So there was no threat
right.
In the criminal aspect of it.
So, in your mind, and I'm asking for an opinion only now,
sure.
for you as a person who deals with these situations regularly, is this a legal issue, jail issue, or a mental health issue?
Well, you know what? I think it's morphed into both. You know, more and more the police are and law enforcement is expected to be called into these situations that are mental health situations. You know, we're police officers, we're not doctors, we're not psychologists, psychiatrists, what have you. But we are more and more taking on a role where we're being trained to handle these situations. For our part, at the UMD Police Department, all of our officers now are trained in crisis intervention, which is, it sort of scratches the surface of dealing with mental health issues. So it's a big plus for us to have all of our officers trained in that aspect. And also kudos to the Duluth Police Department for implementing a program where they embed a social worker to help deal with their mental health issues. Just sort of a side note here. But to answer your question, I think it's both. What we're seeing more of, and well, actually we've been doing this for quite a while, is that jail or an arrest or a criminal charge can be the first part of getting that person help. It may not be ideal to start out that way, but there are times when you can put these through the court system and a judge at some point will mandate some mental health treatment to help figure out what this person's problem is and hopefully put an end to it.
Because, again, in this situation, as you mentioned, the only person that this person was saying they were going to harm was themselves.
Correct.
There was an incident. A few years ago. Someone who used to roam campus, and the campus police would get phone calls. This person never threatened anybody, never threatened any property, but just would sort of wander around and make conversation with mm-hmm. people. And people would quickly come to a conclusion that there was something not quite right with this person's mental problem,
right.
you know, mental processes, whatever. And it made us really, really uncomfortable. If somebody is off in that sense, but they're not hurting anybody, we're so terribly, terribly uncomfortable. Do we need to change? Do we need to be more compassionate and less?
That's a good question,
terrified?
But I think there's something to be said for that. But you also need to look out for yourself as well, and that's sort of where we come in at UMD with the UMD Police Department. Everyone needs to. Everyone deserves to come here and feel comfortable in what they're doing. It's a different situation at a college campus than in a municipality or a county, where our city is UMD and we have that mission of being an educational institution. So people are coming here for that reason. They're not necessarily living here for any other reason than that, or coming here for any other reason than that. So we want to make sure that everyone is able to do what they're here to do, which is either pursue their education or complete their employment or whatever it is that they're doing here. So, yeah, I think there's definitely room for compassion, obviously, but we also need to make sure that, that everyone is comfortable being here. We don't mind coming to these calls. If you're feeling uncomfortable and you want us to check on it, you know, that's what we're here for, especially with our CIT training that I mentioned earlier. We're able to do that. We're able to come in and talk to people and find out if that person might have a need for some additional resources. You know, if they're not causing any harm, that's fine. They can stay here. And as long as they're not disrupting the mission of UMD, that's fine. You know, everyone is pretty much welcome here. So, and, you know, we like to go to those calls and see if that person might need other resources or a ride somewhere or to get in touch with a family member who can take better care of them, that sort of thing.
It's so difficult to think about where do you draw the line between, because if a person is suffering with a mental illness or perhaps a chemical dependency issue, you don't know what they're going to do next. And you want to be compassionate and you want to be a nice person, but I think as human beings, we're hardwired that if we don't know what the person next to us is going to do next and we worry that they might do something completely wackadoo,
right,
to use a technical
sure.
term,
right.
you know, by our standards, we do respond with fear, and fear makes us angry, and anger makes us judgy.
Right. Right. The self-preservation part of it, I think, comes in too, where you have that instinct to keep yourself safe. And when you're dealing with the mentally ill or those that are under the influence of chemicals or alcohol, you just don't know. And that's the unfortunate part of it. You know, it may not be that person's fault that they are the way they are. And that's the sad part of it. And again, that's where we come in. If that's not something that you're comfortable handling, we can come in and try to handle that for you.
I think I had heard from someone at one point that most of the calls that the Duluth Police Department gets about somebody who's creating some kind of a disturbance are not necessarily criminal complaints, but they are people with an untreated mental illness or untreated chemical dependency. And so from that standpoint, it sounds like people living in communities and police officers, everybody kind of needs to adjust their mindset a little bit.
I think we're getting to that point, sure. It's just become so more prevalent now. I don't think you can approach it the same way you could 15, 20 years ago, or even just a few years ago. You need to have that balance in there.
Well, and of course, you know, then the solution, I mean, there was only one solution, which was just to lock people up. But as we learn more and more and more, the jails and the criminal justice system isn't always the best place for these folks. And they're not really doing the best for the community either, because they can't really address what's really going on.
Right. You know, eventually that person's going to be released once they go through the system and there's no more reason to hold on to them. So that's why I mentioned earlier that there's a possibility of having a judge or a court mandate some kind of treatment for the person. And that's, you know, it's not, like I said, it's not ideal, but it's sometimes a good starting point for that.
Well, when we know better, we do better. And it's interesting to have conversations with folks like you that are on the front lines and try to understand how you folks go forward doing your job. And again, trying to strike that balance and try to evaluate whether this person, you know, is going to be a threat to somebody else or if they're somebody that needs help or maybe both.
Yeah, it's a tough spot for us to be in. There's no point or no argument there. But that's what they pay us to do, and that's why we come into this career. We, you know, we're trying to help people, and that means everybody. So that's why we are trained, and we go through these different scenarios before we take on these cases.
Tim, thanks so much for coming in and waxing philosophical with us this morning and talking it over a little bit. It was interesting to kind of explore it a little bit further with you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Lieutenant Tim Lagarde of the UMD Police, our guest this morning, right here on Northland Morning.